Ladies and gentlemen, Life with the Lyons. Once again, we'd like you to meet the Lyon family.
I'm Richard Lyon.
I'm Barbara Lyon.
I'm Ben.
And I'm B.B. Daniels Lyon.
And here they are in the life of the party.
I'm in here with the kids, honey. We're looking through the trunk I had on tour with me in Variety.
What for?
For Daddy's old gagbook. He needs some jokes for his speech tonight at Mary Clinker's dinner party.
Say, Pop, this old Variety trunk of yours has certainly been places. Just look, Barbara. The King's Arms in Aberdeen, the Caravan Hotel in Liverpool, the Red Lion in Clandidno, the Ritz Hotel in Paris. There must be at least 50 towels here.
Oh, stop exaggerating. Well, there are only 46 towels. Say, how did we get a towel from the YWCA? I never stopped there.
That was a wedding present from Vic Oliver.
Oh, yes. He stayed at the YWCA until his voice changed. Yes.
What do you want this old underground ticket for, Daddy?
Oh, I saved that to remind me of the first time your father kissed me.
Oh, how romantic.
Was it on an underground train, honey?
Yes. We were traveling by tube when all the lights went out and suddenly you grabbed me and kissed me. I remember. Your mustache tickled.
Well, Bebe, I never had a mustache in my life.
Say, that's right, you didn't. Well, anyway, that's when I first fell in love with you.
Well, it was probably Sam Costa.
Hey, Richard, what's that you just took out of the trunk?
One of Pop's old songs. It's got swell words.
Well, read them.
Okay. Matilda, Matilda, your hair is so black. Your nice black hair is hanging down your back. I love you, Matilda, my black-haired Matilda. Matilda, Matilda, my black-haired Matilda.
Well, that sounds like a lovely song. What's the title?
Genie with a Light Brown Hair.
I still don't see the gag book.
Say, Ma, Here are a pair of your spangled tights.
Oh, those aren't mine. Those are your father's. When he was younger, he used to do an adagio act with a girl called Helen Hodgers. Oh, he was fearless.
Oh, and Helen was brave, too. You know, it takes a lot of nerve to be thrown 20 feet up in the air and wait for your partner to catch you.
Yes, but Helen never dropped you once.
Here's your gag book, Pop.
Oh, good. Now I can get on with my speech.
Kids, it's almost time for lunch. You better go and get cleaned up.
Oh, okay, Mother. Come on, Richard.
I'm coming. One of these days, I'll wash myself away.
We'll take that chance.
Oh, Bebe, look, here's a very funny story in my gag book about a monocle that'll fit perfectly at the beginning of my speech. Listen how I work it in. Mr. Mayor, counselors, and friends, as I look at our guest of honor, the Mayor of Marble Arch, I'm reminded of a story. It seems that...
Ben, I heard a terribly funny story at the beauty parlor yesterday that would make a wonderful opening for your speech. Oh, it's so funny.
Well, look, I've got a good joke for my opening. As I look at our... Well, Bebe, please.
Oh, I can't help it, Ben. It's the funniest story I've ever heard.
Well, if it's that funny, let's hear it.
I wish I could remember it.
Look, I'll use the story I have. As I look at
our... Look, why do you have to write a whole new speech? Why don't you change the names and use the same one you did for Marlena Dietrich?
Oh, that would be just fine. I'd be saying, and now we pay tribute to the Mayor of Marble Arch, who is a grandmother, but still has the most beautiful legs in the world.
Oh, all right, all right. I'll go and see if lunch is ready.
Good. Thank goodness. Now, let's see. Where was I? Oh, yes, yes. Mr. Mayor, counselors, and friends, as I look at our guest of honor, I'm reminded of a grandmother with a marble arch. Oh, darn it. Mr. Mayor, counselors, and friends. Oh, I'll get it. I'll get it. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Foxer. Well, I didn't think I'd come to the office today. You see, I'm making a speech and presenting Mayor Clinker with a gold watch. Oh, it's all right if I don't come today? Oh, it's all right if I don't come any day. But, sir, I worked very late last night, and I've got some wonderful ideas for the new picture. What will I do with them? Mr. Fox! All right. I'll throw them in the waste paper basket, and I'll work overtime tomorrow. Goodbye, sir.
Come on, Ben, and eat your lunch.
All right, dear.
Barbara, will you pass the potatoes?
Here you are, Richard. Excuse me, Mother.
Barbara, be careful. Those potatoes are hot. There, you dropped one down the neck of my blouse.
Gosh, Ma, did it burn your neck?
No, Barbara's wearing the blouse.
How many times have I told you to leave your mother's clothes alone, Barbara? You have plenty of your own.
Well, I had to have something new to wear. My boyfriend, Bill, is coming for tea.
Another boyfriend? What happened to the last one?
None of your business. And don't waste your time making any cracks when Bill gets here because he happens to like me.
You know, Barbara, some people like bread and jam because they don't use their butter. And some people like bread and butter because they don't use their jam. And some people like you because they don't use their loaf.
Richard, eat your lunch and leave your sister alone.
Thank you, Mother. I'm sure you and Daddy will like Bill. He's Mayor Clinker's son, you know.
Oh, sure we'll like him, baby, even if he is a little silly.
Daddy, how can you say he's silly? You don't even know him.
Well, everybody knows a mayor's offspring is a little foal. Oh, dear, I made a pony.
Don't laugh so much, Pop. It'll make you a little hoarse.
Say, I might work that into my speech.
Oh, please don't, Daddy. Please, I die.
All right, baby.
If you've all finished your haggis, I'll bring the plums and custard.
Oh, not for me, Aggie. I'll have some of that treacle pudding instead.
Oh, treacle pudding isn't good for your stomach, Mr. Lyon. It's thick and fat and bulky.
Now, don't talk that way about my stomach.
Oh, Ben, by thick and fat and bulky, Aggie meant the pudding, not your tummy. I don't know, though.
Well, anyway, I want treacle pudding.
But plums and custard are better for you.
Aggie, I don't want to be rude, but I want treacle pudding, and I'm going to have treacle pudding.
I'll be back in a minute.
Pop, do you think you should have talked to Aggie like that?
Why not? Aggie's like one of the family, but she has to realize that no woman tells me what to eat. After all, I'm the head of the house. I want treacle pudding.
Mr. Lyon, here's your plums and custard.
Aggie, I... Oh, thanks, Aggie.
Oh, that must be my new boyfriend, Bill.
Does he always bark like that?
Oh, Barbara.
Be still, Richard. Honestly.
Barbara, answer the door.
Oh, Richard, answer the door.
Pop told you to answer it.
I'm putting on some lipstick.
What for? He'll only kiss it off.
Oh, you're so common.
At least I don't change my girlfriends every week.
That's because you haven't got a girlfriend.
Is that so? I've got girlfriends in the four corners of the world.
Then why is it I never see you out with any of them?
I can't make them come out of the corners.
Will one of you kids please answer the door?
Oh, I will, Daddy. Now, Richard, remember, if this is Bill, be friendly.
Hello, beautiful.
Oh, Bill, do come in. You're just in time for tea. This is my brother, Richard.
Hi, how are the wife and kids?
Wife and kids? I'm not married.
I know, but it seems such a friendly way to start a conversation.
Tea, Bill?
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
Oh, do me a favor, Bill. Pass the sugar, will you?
Well, why don't you ask me to do something difficult? I'd do anything for you, Barbara. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd swim the deepest ocean. I'd even go through fire for you.
Well, so this is Mayor Clinker's son, eh?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, don't get up, son. Don't get up. I just thought I'd try out my speech on you.
Oh.
Now, here's one of my jokes. I call it the love story of the two Monocles. The boy Monocle said to the girl Monocle, "Darling, let's get joined together in matrimony." And the girl Monocle said, "What? And make a spectacle of ourselves?"
Wouldn't you like to hear another one, Bill?
Barbara, couldn't I just climb the highest mountain?
Hey, Mr. Lyon, could I see you for a minute?
Oh, be right there, Aggie. Oh, what do you want, Aggie?
Have you seen my wrapping paper?
No, I haven't. Say, what's that thing you have in your hand?
Oh, this. Oh, it's a wee wig for my cousin Willie.
A wee wig? Oh, I see. You mean a toupee.
Aye, what you said. Well, it's a birthday present for him. You see, last month he had a most unfortunate accident. He was out walking with his lass, and a hunter mistook him for a duck.
Probably the way he was walking.
Aye. Well, the hunter took careful aim, and with one shot, riddled his wig.
Well, was Cousin Willie hurt?
No, no, but the shock turned his wig white.
Say, that's a very funny story. Maybe I can work that into my speech. Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends, it seems a young Scotchman was mistaken for a duck.
Oh, Ben, has that watch for Mayor Clinker arrived yet?
No, but it should be here any minute. While I'm waiting, I think I'll rehearse my speech again. Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends... Oh, that's probably the watch now. Come in.
Flory, darling.
Hello, Bebe. Oh, my, it's hot in here.
Well, you're just in time. Ben's rehearsing his speech.
Oh, that explains the hot air.
Flory.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bebe. I was only joking. Carry on with your speech, Ben.
All right, all right. Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends, as I look at Mayor Clinker, I'm reminded of a story. It seems that...
Oh, Ben, I heard a wonderful story that'll suit your speech perfectly.
I've got a story. Now, please.
You see, a husband said to his wife, "Why don't you darn the holes in my socks?" And she said, "Because you won't buy me that fur wrap I want. And if you don't give a wrap, I don't give a darn."
Oh, Flory, Flory, please don't interrupt Ben again. He's had so many interruptions today.
Thanks, dear, thanks. Now, let's see. Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends...
I hope you don't think I was rude, Flory. It's just that he hasn't had a time to go right through his speech. Go ahead, dear.
Thanks, thanks. Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends...
Now, when a friend's trying to concentrate, you know, people keep interrupting them. They lose their trend of thought. Go ahead, dear.
Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends...
You see how much better it is when we don't interrupt him? Go on, darling.
Mr. Mayor, councilors, and friends...
Oh, it's a wonderful speech. What do you say next? Now, Ben, if you can't remember, it's no good pounding your head with your fist.
I think we'd better leave him alone, Bebe.
Well, that's the most sensible thing you've ever said in your entire ridiculous life.
Ben!
I'm sorry, Flory, but you two have been driving me out of me head!
Oh! Come on, Flory. We'll go and have a cup of tea.
Good. I've got to get some more facts on the mayor's life so I can finish him. I mean his speech.
Well, I've got an idea. I'll go over to his house and interview him. You can come too, Flory.
Oh, how wonderful. What a thrill.
What's so wonderful and thrilling about seeing the mayor?
He's a man, isn't he?
Come on, Flory. Let's go.
No, Bebe. I'd rather get the information myself.
All right. Come on in the kitchen, honey.
Oh, now, who could that be? Come in. Oh, hello, Wimple. I see you haven't dislodged that whistle you swatted last week.
No, and it's got me into solid trouble.
How?
Well, the factory on my street threatened to sue me.
Why?
Well, I was passing there at 10 o'clock this morning. I took a deep breath, and my whistle blew, and everybody knocked off for lunch.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, that's not the half. I was out walking with the missus just now. I'd passed some pretty girls.
And your whistle blew again?
That's right. And a dozen of them followed me home.
Girls?
No, doves.
Oh, you are in a bad way. We better do something about it. Now, where's the whistle lodged?
Well, I don't know. I can hear it, but I can't locate it. This morning it was in the throat, then it vanished clean as a...
Well, look, maybe if I poke you in the ribs with my finger, I can locate it.
Okie doke. But don't dig too hard.
I won't. Now, let's see. Is it here?
No.
Well, is it here?
No.
Here? No, no. It couldn't be there, I guess. Well, is it here? That's it! Oh, that's it, Wimple. I found it. Now hold still and drink this glass of water, and I'll try to dislodge it.
All right.
Good. Now I'll give you a dig on both sides and see if the water will move it. There. How's that? No good, no good. You better go in the kitchen and get some hot water. Bebe and Mrs. Wainwright are in there.
Okay, dear.
Now, let's see. I better try my speech again. Now, let's see. Where was I?
Hey, Mrs. L and Mrs. Wainwright aren't in the kitchen.
Holy smoke. I hope they haven't gone over to Mayor Clinker's house. No, I told Bebe not to. She wouldn't dare. No, she wouldn't dare.
Flory, this is Mayor Clinker's house. I'll ring the bell.
Oh, what a thrill to be meeting the mayor. If he comes to the door himself, I hope somebody pinches me.
Well, don't count on it, Flory. He's a very nice man.
Why, hello, Mrs. Lyon. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you, Mayor Clinker.
And who's this behind you? Your father?
What?
Oh, no, no. This is my friend, Mrs. Wainwright.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the fault of the light in here. I'll make it dimmer. How do you do, Mrs. Wainwright?
Oh, a kiss on the hand. What a charming greeting. So few people kiss one's hand nowadays.
That's no reason why you should kiss mine.
Your Honor, we came to get a few facts about your life. You see, Ben is going to make a speech at your dinner.
Yes, so I've been warned. Hmm? I mean, told. Oh.
Well, tell me all about yourself, and I'll make notes for Ben. When did you get your start?
Well, I was raised on a farm in Australia.
Well, that certainly beats farms over here. All they can raise is vegetables.
This can't be true.
Well, so much for your boyhood days. Now for the present. How old are you?
You mean before we started this interview or now? I've aged considerably.
No. How old are you now? And tell me the truth, Your Honor. I do think it's silly for people to lie about their age.
Well, I'd say I'm about the same age as you.
Imagine that, Flurry. He's a mayor already, and he's only 32.
Your Honor, I understand you were a great hunter. You must have had some very exciting experiences.
Yes, and a few narrow escapes. See that bear rug in front of the fireplace?
Yes.
Well, he attacked me. It's a very rare type of bear, very ferocious. He actually clawed all my clothes off.
Oh, that must have been awful. A rare bear fighting a bear mare.
Very funny. Well, eventually I shot him, and a good thing, too. If I hadn't got him, he'd have got me.
Well, I'm awfully glad you got him. He makes a much better rug.
Thank you.
Is that the most nerve-wracking experience you ever had?
No, it was the second most nerve-wracking.
Really? What was the first?
It isn't over yet.
Oh, well, I think we've got all we need for Ben's speech, and thanks a lot. Goodbye, Your Honor.
Goodbye. Well, thank heavens that's over.
Humphrey, isn't it time you started to get ready for your dinner party?
Oh, yes, Martha, dear.
And for goodness sake, don't go with your hair in such a mess. Just look in the mirror.
Yes, it needs combing. I'll do it now.
Oh, you're not doing it right here. Give me your comb. I'll do it for you.
All right, dear.
I'll comb it straight back. There, that's better. Here's your comb.
Thank you.
And here's your hair.
Thank you, I'll put it on.
Oh, by the way, Humphrey, I shouldn't really tell you, but they're presenting you with something special at the dinner party tonight.
Oh, I'll be sure to act surprised.
Straighten your wig, dear, it's a little crooked.
Thank you, Martha. I certainly wouldn't like anyone to know that I wear a wig.
Well, I'll sprinkle some salt on your shoulders so they'll think it's dandruff.
Thank you, Martha.
Oh, Ben, I'm back. Where are you?
I'm in the den rehearsing my speech.
Oh, I had a wonderful talk with the mayor.
Oh, I hope you talked sensibly.
Of course I did. At first, he might have thought that I had a lot of crazy ideas in my head, but I only had to talk to him for a few minutes before he realized there was nothing in it.
Yeah, that I can understand. Did you get any information, anything I can use in my speech?
Oh, yes. He's a hunter. He was born in Australia, and I found out something very important. You couldn't give him a better present. He's just crazy about watches.
Well, how did you find that out?
Well, all the time I was talking to him, he kept taking out his watch and looking at it.
What? That's very nice to know.
Did the watch arrive?
Yes, and it's a beauty. I gave it to Aggie to wrap. Will you see if she's finished it yet?
Of course, dear.
I'll get it. Oh. Oh, hello, Wimple. Come right on. Come in, Wimple.
Yes, Mr. Elf. I think that water cure of yours did the trick. Hasn't been a whistle out of me since.
Good.
So I thought I'd come over and give you a hand.
Doing what?
Well, you've got to make a speech. Thought maybe I could help soothe your nerves.
Oh, I'm not nervous, Wimple.
Yet.
Well, don't worry. I won't be.
Good. Now, when I make a speech, I'll get very nervous. Twist my words around.
What do you mean?
Well, when I was running for a councillor, I had a slogan. Elect me and get a house on your land. But instead, I said, elect me and get a louse on your hand. Oh.
Well, that's awful. Oh, but Wimple, that couldn't happen to me.
Oh, of course not. Mr. Earl, you said you weren't a bit nervous?
No, I'm not a nit nervous.
You said you weren't a nit nervous.
No, I did not. I said I'm not a bit nervous.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Fair enough, better my fight.
I say, you better sit down and relax. I'll go and speak to Mrs. Elf.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple. How's Ben's speech coming along?
No, it isn't. He's in a shocking state. Oh. His nerves are gone.
Oh, you must be mistaken. Ben isn't the nervous type.
Oh, I don't know.
Shall I go and see?
Well, go in and see for yourself.
All right. Hello, honey.
Oh, hello, dear. Am I glad to see you?
What did you say, Miss Will?
I said, am I glad to gee goo?
Oh, well, I'm glad to gee goo, too.
Yes, you better relax, Mr. Earl.
Yes, darling, try not to think about your speech. Look at the bright side. Maybe you won't even get there. A flat tire, an accident, the car may overturn. Oh.
Let's go back to the dark side.
Well, now that we've cheered you up, how do you feel?
Oh, terrible. Hey, where did I get this ball of wool?
Well, you've been sitting there unraveling my underwear.
Oh. That's done it. I'm getting out of here. Where's the mayor's present? Where's the watch I'm giving him?
I don't know. I couldn't find Aggie.
Well, I can't go without it.
Oh, there's the box on the hall table. Didn't she wrap it prettily?
Yes, come on, Wimple.
All right.
Good luck with your speech, darling, and don't be nervous.
I told you before I'm not nervous.
Of course you aren't. Goodbye, dear.
But Guy Beer.
Lion, he's gone to the mayor's dinner party.
But I thought he wanted to take the watch along with him.
He took it. That's funny. He was wrapped in a box just like the one you have in your hand.
No, no, this is the watch. Mr. Lion must have taken Cousin Willie's wig.
No. Cousin Willie's wig?
Aye, it was in the hall table. Who gave it to him?
I did.
Oh, Barbara, Richard. Come on in here and help your poor old ma, will you, kid?
What's the matter?
What is it, Mother? Oh, we must stop your father from making that speech. He'll never live it down.
Oh, his speech isn't that bad.
Get the car out of the garage.
We can't. The car isn't working.
What's wrong with it? I drove it this morning.
Ma, you've answered your own question.
Well, we'll have to do something. He's taking Willie's wig instead of the watch.
Oh, no.
Be calm,
everybody. Be calm. It won't help to lose your heads. I'll telephone the banquet room. Now, let's see. Marble Arch, 7124.
Mother!
Quiet, dear. Now, quiet. Hello? Hello? There's no answer. Hello? Why don't they answer?
Mother!
Yes?
Take the receiver off the hook.
Oh, the receiver.
Ma, let me do it.
I wish you'd all stop being so nervous. Hello? Hello? May I speak to Blisterland by him, please?
What do you mean you can't understand me?
I'll take it, Ma. Hello? May I speak to Mr. Lyon? What? Gee. Okay, thanks.
What do they say, Richard?
They've locked the doors to the banquet room and nobody's allowed in until after the speeches.
Poor Ben, just like old times, locking the doors when he's on.
Poor Daddy. Poor Daddy. I wonder what he's doing now.
Probably getting ready to make his speech.
Dinner's over. It's about time for your speech, Mr. Earl. Nervous?
No, and stop asking me.
Not even a little bit nervous?
No, not even a fiffle biff. There, you made me do it again, Wimple.
Oh, Mr. Earl, you've dropped the box off the table.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Wimple.
That's a nicely wrapped box, Lion. Looks like a gift. Somebody's birthday.
No, Mayor Klinker. It's not what you think it is.
Oh, you can tell me. I can keep a secret.
Oh, no. That would spoil all the fun.
Go on, tell me. I'll keep it under my hat.
Oh, you'll find out soon enough, Mr. Mayor. Just keep your hair on.
Pray silence for Councillor Whipple.
Now, here's where I introduce you, Mr. Hill. Gentlemen, and you too, Mayor Klinker, I've known Mr. Earl for the last 30 years, and I can truthfully say that in the whole neighborhood, there is not one man that I've known longer. I thank you.
Mr. Mayor, councilors and friends, as I look Mayor Klinker in the face, I'm reminded of an old boomerang. I mean, I'm reminded of an Australian story. It seems a young Australian boy was given a boomerang, and the poor kid went crazy trying to throw the old one away. Oh, I've got a lot of these jokes, but you didn't come here to listen to my jokes, did you?
Yeah. I say, get on with it.
Quiet, Wimple, quiet. We are here tonight to honor a great citizen of Marble Arch. I refer to none other than Mayor Humphrey Klinker.
Here.
And to express our appreciation, we have a little gift for you, Mayor Klinker. We know you have several of them at home, but we feel sure you want to add this special one to your collection. It's something that you'll not only wear, but we hope you'll hand it down to your children and grandchildren to wear. So please take it, Mr. Mayor. Take this present with our very best wishes and put it on.
What is it?
Quiet, the mayor's unwrapping it.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends, for this.
Blimey, a wig.
A wig? Oh, no. It couldn't be a wig. It's a racing pigeon.
What, with a parting in it?
It's a wig. Oh, Lion, this is outrageous, utterly outrageous. Explain yourself immediately. I demand an explanation. Give me a story. Quickly, man, what's your story?
Well, my story, yes, it seems a boomerang was given to a young Australian boy.
Don't look so sad.
Oh, I can't help it, dear. I'm a ruined man. They'll throw me out of my club now. Why do things like this always happen to me?
Barbara, where's Ma?
Oh, she's on the phone trying to explain things to the mayor and the newspapers.
Why don't you stop her, Pop?
Because nothing can be worse than it is.
Well, then you can smile again. I fixed everything.
The mayor was laughing about the wig when I hung up. So were the newspaper men.
They were?
Yes.
And I even explained it so they wouldn't think that you'd been silly enough to get Aggie's parcel mixed with the mayor's.
Oh, that's wonderful, darling. What did you tell them?
I told them it was your wig.
My wig? Oh, no.
With the Lions, with Bebe Daniels and Ben Lyon, were their children, Barbara and Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Horace Percival, David Enders, Philip Ray, and Cecile Chevron. The script was by Bebe Daniels, Bob Block, and Bill Harding. The dance orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black, with incidental music by Arthur Wilkinson. Production by Tom Ronald.